The second reading can be found on page 676 in the Pew Bibles. 676, we're in the book of Ecclesiastes, reading from chapter 8, verse 16, through to chapter 9, verse 12. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe the labour that is done on earth, people getting no sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all their efforts to search it out, no one can discover its meaning. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot really comprehend it. So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. But no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterwards they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go, eat your food with gladness, and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labour under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead where you are going, there is neither working nor planning, nor knowledge nor wisdom. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favour to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Okay, John, I think it's
Do you have page 676 open in front of you? And I've got some questions for you here. What do you see on these three slides as they come up? Here's the first. What do you see there? Do you see, put your hand up if you see a candlestick. Put your hand up if you see two people face to face. Put your hand up if you're not quite sure. Put your hand up if you hate putting your hand up in church. Okay, what do you see on this next one? What do you see on this next one? Is that a rabbit? Or is it a duck? Who thinks it's a rabbit? Who thinks it's a duck? Who thinks it's something else completely? Okay, what about this next one? What about this next one? A frog or a horse? Who thinks a frog? Who thinks a horse? Who thinks it's a really bad drawing of nothing, really? They're very clever pictures, aren't they? They're very clever pictures. Because each way you see them, each time you look at them, you see something slightly different. And this passage we have in front of us today is an extraordinary piece of divinely inspired literary art. It's like, a written equivalent of these pictures. Depending on how you read it, it says two completely different things, both of which, by the way, are true from their perspective. And it answers this question: where can we find satisfaction? Where can we find satisfaction? I don't mean the satisfaction of a morning stretch or that first coffee, nor the satisfaction of a brilliant grade in an exam, all of which are great, but they don't last, do they? Nor even the satisfaction of a great achievement, perhaps your life's work, or even a life well lived. We'll see that those things don't really last. I mean, where we can find everlasting, never fading, absolutely never being taken away from us ever, satisfaction. And to do this, we're going to read our passage in two different ways, like those pictures. Once from the perspective of the materialist. That's the person who lives their life entirely under the sun, as if there's nothing else, or forgetting that there's something else. And don't be surprised if we're brought up a little bit short along the way, as God points out things that we value just a little bit too much in our lives. But then we're going to read the passage the other way to see how even the things that can't give us satisfaction can actually be given meaning and point to the one who does give us true satisfaction. So we have two sides to our passage coin today. We have satisfaction isn't found under the sun, and satisfaction is found above the sun. So then, firstly, satisfaction isn't found under the sun. And the teacher's going to tell us some pretty radical things here. He's going to show us that we'll never find true satisfaction in some of the ways of living. People around us, we meet, people on the TV, people on the radio, maybe on the internet, and loads of people, loads of voices tell us where we're going to find satisfaction and the purpose of life. But as the teacher does this, beware, because he's not going to tell us that any of these things in and of themselves are bad, just that they can't possibly satisfy us if we pin our hopes on them. And there are five things that he deals with in our passage. And here's the first. You won't find satisfaction in trying to work out or find for yourself the meaning of life. Look with me halfway through chapter 8, verse 17 in your Bibles there, page 676. Chapter 8, verse 17. Halfway through that verse, our teacher writes this. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all their efforts to search it out, no one can discover its meaning. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot really comprehend it. The teacher's telling us that we can spend so much time, so much effort, so much emotion trying to find the meaning of life. Philosophers have spent entire careers trying to figure out the meaning of life. YouTube is full of experts and amateurs giving their take on the meaning of life. People discuss it over a pint in the pub. Songs are written about it and played out on the radio. But the teacher tells us that we can't discover the meaning of life ourselves, however long we search for it. It's hidden from us under the sun. Or may as well be that there is no meaning of life. Searching for it, as the materialist, won't bring us lasting satisfaction. You can navel gaze as much as you like, but the chances are all you'll find is a bit of fluff. The second thing the teacher addresses is this. You won't find satisfaction in trying to live a moral life. Living a good life won't make you happy. The teacher tells us that it makes no difference. Look with me at chapter 9, verse 2. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them, because all share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifice and those who do not. It doesn't even make a difference if you're very religious, does it? All share a common destiny. We're all going to die in the end. And we know it. Look back in history. Some very good people have lived and worked in the world. Think of Mother Teresa. Her kindness died with her. Hitler also died. The same fate awaits the good and the bad. Living a moral life won't bring you satisfaction. Next up, trying to live a significant life won't bring you satisfaction. Look with me at chapter 9, verse 4. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. You can have been the greatest person ever to have lived. Think of Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan, when he died in about 1227, he had an empire that stretched all the way from Western Turkey, all the way through Asia, and as far as the eastern shores of China, and from Siberia in the north, right down to the Himalayas, and as far south as the top of Thailand. But today, my cats, Truffle, Pepsi, and Max, are better off than Genghis Khan. A live cat is better off than a dead emperor. Verse 5. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. I hope when I'm gone, people will remember me. I hope I've made a bit of a difference in the world, says the materialist. Well, usually people won't remember you after a generation or two. And even if you are remembered, it'll only be some of your achievements. Nothing really of you that's remembered. You'll be a name on a family tree and a couple of stories passed down. King David reflected on this in Psalm 103. He wrote this: "As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place knows it no more." Leading a significant life won't, in the end, bring you satisfaction. Next up, the teacher turns to the things and people that we have in our lives that we value. Trying to live a comfortable life won't bring you satisfaction. He draws out the irony of trying to find satisfaction, feel satisfaction, from owning stuff, from knowing people, and enjoying good times. When one day you'll die, and it's all over. Verse 7. Go and Go, eat your food with gladness. And hear the sarcasm in this. Go, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart. For God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white. Always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love. All the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labour under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you're going, there's neither working nor planting, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. The teacher's telling us that from the materialist's point of view, from life under the sun's perspective, there is no ultimate satisfaction in any of that that happens under the sun. There's not even any satisfaction found in trying to lead a fair life, which is the next thing, the fifth thing that the teacher addresses. Why? Chapter 9, verse 12. The race is not for the swift, or the battle for the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favour to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Life under the sun is not fair. And anyway, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare. So people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. Life's not fair. Death's not fair. Dark, isn't it? From that perspective, that side of the coin, very dark. And life under the sun is surprisingly dark, given how bright the sun is. Life lived with reference only to this creation can never bring you satisfaction. So how can we find that true and lasting satisfaction? Because we do live in this creation. We're part of it. But satisfaction is found above the sun. Look back with me at the start of our passage, chapter 8, verse 16. Page 676, if you closed up your Bible. Chapter 8, verse 16. The teacher says this, "When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe the labour that is done on earth, people getting no sleep day or night," I know how that feels sometimes, especially in the hot. Life is dark under the sun, isn't it? Verse 17, "Then I saw all that God has done." All that God has done. And it's when we see what God is doing, when we put on those spectacles, when we see what he gives us, that he rules his creation, his good creation, it's then that we find true satisfaction. It's when we look above the sun, we find satisfaction under the sun. God gives us a purposeful life. Acts chapter 7, verse 28 says this, 17:28 says this, "For in him, in God, we live and move and have our being." Knowledge is great. It is great. If you're at school, work hard. If you're not at school, read books. Be interested in the world around you. It's good. Knowledge is good. When we remember that all knowledge comes from God, and he knows everything. And he reveals truth about himself and about us through his word, the Bible. How about a moral life? God calls us to live his way in his world, doesn't he? That's when we find true freedom, true happiness, true satisfaction. He hasn't left us to make it up as we go along and to kind of make up our morals as our world seems to love to do, hoping that we get it right. No, he's told us how to live and has given us the example of Jesus. Paul writes this in Ephesians 5, verse 10. Find out what pleases the Lord. And just in case we're not sure how to do that or where to find out what pleases the Lord, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In other words, read your Bible and watch how Jesus lived. Copy him. What about living a significant life? How can we do that when we're all going to die? How can we live a significant life? Well, here's Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says this, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through fire. Build your life on Jesus, on Christ. Build everything you do on him. All you do, do for him. And it will be of significance. And you'll find lasting satisfaction. Because you'll be living your life for Jesus, which will last into all eternity. How about living a comfortable life? Well, God hasn't ever promised that we'll be comfortable, has he? But he does bless us with good things. Enjoy what God's given you, whatever it is. Food, clothes, a church family, perhaps a blood family with a spouse, friends, good times. Enjoy them all. Colossians says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Be thankful. Enjoy life thanking God for what he's given you. Don't feel guilty if you're having a good time at the moment, but do remember to be thankful to God for all he's given you. Then you'll be satisfied with everything that you have. And finally, be reconciled to the fact that life in this sinful world, this broken world under the sun, is not fair very often. But keep your eyes fixed on him who suffered the greatest unfairness of them all. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because in this unfair world, we can grow weary or lose heart if we take our eyes off Jesus. It's Jesus who gives us meaning. It's Jesus who gives us true satisfaction. So don't scrabble around under the sun looking for satisfaction in life. Instead, look above the Son, to the Son of God, who is the one in whom we find true life. Life to the full, true and eternal satisfaction forever. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this nugget from Ecclesiastes to chew on. Please would you help us to look above the Son to the Lord Jesus, so that we can find true satisfaction here in this creation under the Son. In his name we pray. Amen.